morning has turned to afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
But the grind carries on.
Not just the grind physically, but the grind mentally.
The Midday Grind, featuring a couple of TV jockeys who've also been through the radio wars.
Serious?
Martin Kilcoyne.
I was a little lit, so I was saying whatever I wanted.
And Charlie Marlowe.
Our top story tonight, John Jay will be back tomorrow. Here's him getting a hit in 2012.
It's the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Strick is here, and I knew it. I've learned over the years, you see somebody in a suit and tie that is normally not in a suit and tie, rather than make a sarcastic comment, you say, I'm sorry, was there a funeral?
Well, it is winter, or summer, I should say. I don't know how you guys wear suits all summer long. It's 100 degrees outside, you know?
My mom gets mad when Hayes, McLaughlin, and the gang on Midwest have suits on and it's really hot out.
Yeah.
She's like, why do they do that? They look uncomfortable. They have a rule. I think it's 90 and under, they go golf shirts.
Bad rule.
The other way. 90 and over, golf shirts. 90 and under, it's a suit and tie. I think you should be golf shirts most of the time.
Three-button polo all year long.
Why?
Because
you guys are turning into old ladies. You're just thinking about the stuff that nobody else thinks about.
But I want to tune in.
You're so concerned about what Danny Mac is wearing on television or what my mom is. Don't blame it on your mom.
She gets mad when they're wearing suit and tie and it's hot and sweaty.
I'm sensing a lack of energy from you today, Martin. I just early on I came in. You were a little down, a little quiet.
Don't say that to this guy because he takes that personally. Yesterday after the show, we had these group texts and Martin said, I was a little off today.
I'm
like, dude, you were fine.
I wasn't like depressed about it. I was just telling you, I'll bring a little more energy on Wednesday. And then Strick walks in and I got depressed.
Hold on. You've got
your UPS shirt on. You're ready to go.
That was good. Ring the bell, please.
What is Brown? What
can Brown do for you?
That was good.
I did see, by the way, UPS delivers 6% of our gross domestic product, and they're having like a labor dispute, and they said if UPS ever had a true strike or a walkout,
we'd be screwed.
The economy would take an immediate dip.
Amazon would pick it all up and make another quadrillion dollars.
I've never ordered anything off Amazon. Did you?
Amazon?
Know?
I've never had this.
I think if my
wife, they'd figure it out.
If she quit Amazon, I think the economy would
tank.
Yeah.
You ever go out to your front porch? There's just a box there.
Oh, my God, every day.
That's every day at my house.
Every day, multiple times. And you know what's funny about Amazon? They deliver on Sundays. So usually the mail does not come around on Sundays. They're in an actual mail truck.
Yeah, it freaks you out.
And I'm like, what are you doing on a Sunday? You're not off today? She said Amazon.
Working on a Sunday?
Yeah, working on a Sunday, man. They work very, very hard.
Strick is wearing a suit.
And I had the sprinklers going the other day, by the way. I had to run outside and apologize because they got all wet. But, you know, that's the effort they put through it. And they're wearing shorts nowadays, the UPS people, right?
Yeah, kind of the LeBron look where it's like a dressier shirt and then the shorts on bottom.
What do you think of that look?
Did you see Frank do it on Channel 5?
I did see that. You know, I watched Channel 5 Sports for the first time in, say, I don't know, 4.5 months, maybe.
It was a kicker story.
Was it a protest?
No. And just say, how often do you watch the local? I don't watch the local news a ton.
Drop out of that.
I DVR that, and I'll certainly catch Fox 2 maybe the next day. But I did catch it live, and it was after the Stanley Cup Finals, so Channel 5 was on. And I saw his sportscast. It was very good. I got to catch up on the Cardinals' first draft pick and saw him wear shorts like LeBron James.
That was his kicker story, where he showed LeBron in the shorts. He showed some of the other fashionistas in the NBA, like James Harden, Russell Westbrook. And right when he did that, I go, I guarantee you, Frank is going to have shorts on. And it wasn't live with shorts, but then he went to a video of him walking out there.
Yeah, I saw that.
With the shorts. And Martin, this is your line. I'm stealing it from you. But to me, it was good. It was the right slice of cheese. It was just the right slice of cheesiness for the local news.
No, it was very good. And
That's what I'm saying.
I pictured Betty at home, maybe Martha at home.
Gertrude.
Gertrude. They're just laughing hysterically.
Edna.
Agnes.
And they're talking about it the next day on the phone. Did you see what Frank did
the
on the news last
watching.
Night? So,
I love
very, very
that,
cool.
Frank.
I love how they break it down, by the way, in the NBA.
You stop that.
A lot of these websites, they'll break down the actual price for each article that they're wearing to an NBA game. So, for example, LeBron James, like his shirt may cost $4,800. His purse may cost $3,500. His shoes may cost a couple grand. So overall, I think his outfit from game, what was that, game one, maybe game two?
It was game one.
It was somewhere in the range of like $50,000.
Strick, I saw that. Yeah. It was like 50 G's, as you said.
Yeah.
40,000 of it was that bag. It was like a man bag, Louis Vuitton, whatever it was $40,000.
Yeah, I call it a purse. You know, a typical like briefcase has a longer strap that goes over the shoulder. This is a handheld. So, which was very, very cool. I mean, I don't want to offend anybody out there. I mean, I thought it was great that he wears it. He's very confident. It just shows you how confident you can be when you have like hundreds of millions of dollars.
I think I could use a purse.
I need a purse.
I got keys. I got gum. I got chargers.
Well, let me give you an example of this. We were talking about the purse this morning at the house because I got my new sunglasses,
which you haven't taken off, even though you're indoors.
No, because I forget that I have them on because they're prescription sunglasses. I've never had prescription sunglasses ever.
Tony La Russa style.
And the guy from the Eye Bar, Jared, who's unbelievable. You need to go into the Eye Bar.
Here we go.
It's incredible service, and they've got the best selection of sunglasses and eyewear you'll ever see. It's incredible. It's right by the Ritz. They've got one in the Central West End as well, but it's called the Eye Bar. It's an incredible experience, and you can go in there, have a glass of scotch or whatever. They bring your sunglasses to you. Oh yeah,
I can't see anything.
Whiskey,
oh, that's fine. That's a good pair for
whiskey. You
want
to have a beer, whatever. You just sit down at the bar. They bring them to you, and they totally set you up.
It's
an unreal experience, and I mean that. You want to have a great experience buying glasses, this is where you go. But he told me not to leave my prescription sunglasses in the car when it's hot out because it'll ruin them.
And there is a rule. If you have really nice sunglasses, rival company, Erker's Fine Eyewear, my buddy Erker would always say, don't take them off your person. You put them like on your shirt, your pocket, because that way you'll never lose them. You set them down like I did here, you end up walking
away.
Why
are you name dropping this other place?
Because I just reminded your free spot's being matched by my free spot.
Are they a sponsor of yours?
Not yet.
Oh.
But why are you wearing them indoors?
Because I forget that I have them on.
Okay.
I mean, they're so clear and they're prescription. It's funny because he said to me,
first of all,
when I had my, and they do the eye exams and everything. And I mean, the person who did the eye exam, it's like she's like an artist. I mean, she's so creative in terms of how she does this. The technology with this eye exam, it's kind of like the Schumann Center with Dr. Ethan Schumann. You know, I tell you about the technology they have. He's the most technological advanced dentist that I've ever seen.
He does root canals with what, rhinoceros or something like that?
He can. He's done it in the past.
What is it? No,
it was
seriously.
Featured on KSDK.
What was it?
I think it was like a cheetah.
He pulled a giraffe's wisdom teeth. That's what he did.
I think it was a cheetah. But it's the whole experience is incredible. So I'll take them off right now. I forget that I even have them on. Go ahead.
Strick, great to see you,
Who's
buddy.
Next?
Top Gun over here.
Welcome back. I did see your guy, Chris Pronger, on Monday.
Okay.
I'm always trying to cut your grass.
I know you are.
Like Hector. And I said, got to get you in studio one of these days. I said, do I have to clear it through Strickland? He goes, yes, you do. You understand how it works. Andrew will clear things. And then I'm walking by later. He said, just give me a call. And I said, sounds good. He goes, 911. That's my number. So I don't think we're going to have Pronger in studio this week.
No. Why would you want him this week? We just had him on. Actually, we had a great conversation. I don't know if you caught any of it.
I did.
Did you?
I listened to all of it.
He was very good, wasn't he?
It was very good.
He was good. I mean, always enjoy catching up with Chris. And we talk often, but I just think
candidly, we talk all the time.
But you know what? To get him on in a public setting like that for an hour to have that type of conversation, I think it's great for the listener. I mean, for people to be able to appreciate a guy like him living in our town, just in terms of his overall greatness as a hockey player.
And to me, I thought it was very interesting because he got very in depth with working with the league and how they handle suspensions.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very interesting, just about how everybody's mad, and if you set a precedent here, you got to do it again, how it's a very slippery slope.
No doubt. And how he interacts, or how the whole dynamic works when you have these hearings. You know, we all know the agents involved and the players involved, the general managers involved, and, you know, hearing about how certain players make their case and how maybe He brought up a story. Dustin Byfuglien, your favorite player from the Winnipeg Jets.
Tough to spell.
Yeah. Byfuglien.
I'm writing that down.
Byfuglien. Byfuglien. From Minnesota. Anyway, so they had a hearing.
You just interrupted yourself.
And they were going to suspend him for a certain number of games. And then Byfuglien brought up something that the league hadn't noticed, and they went back to the video, and they said, you know what, he's right, and it reduced the number of games he was actually suspended because of it.
All right, guys, a couple of headlines for you here. NBA tonight, game 3, interest level tonight, and then Frank put this out. If the Cavs lose tonight, your interest level then becomes what?
Mm. Well, my interest level is a 10 tonight.
A 10?
Well, there's no hockey on
either.
See
what they're going to be wearing?
Listen, it's... Like last night, for example, when there's no hockey on and there's no basketball on this time of year, I mean, I know the baseball game is on, which is great.
Sounds like you're really into it.
You hate baseball.
No, it was great. Well, I saw fam get picked off. Actually, I read about it, but might as well have seen it because I can picture it.
I don't know what that means.
And so he got picked off at third, and they just lost to a pitcher who hadn't won in like 14 consecutive starts, something like that. I mean, how does
Urena
that happen?
Was 0-7.
Yeah. Great hair, by the way.
And
Jose
then Don
Urena.
Mattingly. Could you imagine being one of the greatest hitters in the history of baseball? And I love Mattingly back in the day, number 23 for the Yankees. Great left-handed first baseman. I think he was a lefty. And
yes.
and I was a lefty. And I love playing first.
Still are, right?
Yeah, still am. And
I like how Hoff took away the NBA music. When we get back to the NBA, it'll come back.
He's so bad. Or his team is so bad. I mean, what's it like being one of the greatest players ever coaching a team that is absolutely
it's
horrendous?
It's great. Because you get that gig, and there's no expectations to win. Mm-hmm. He can have that gig for 5 years till they're good.
No, that's
making
not
million
true.
Of dollars
that's
a year.
That's not true. I mean,
100%.
No, I think he's having fun. He's eating steak dinners. He's staying at the
pressure
Ritz,
to win.
He's like, hey, we had a good win tonight. I'm sorry, we're not.
You guys
much...
act like he's never had a steak dinner before and he's never been rich. I mean, come on, listen. This guy's a competitor.
There's only
he wants
30
to win.
Big league jobs.
Yeah, but I think he couldn't get another one.
Well, he's managing
Please.
The Marlins right now.
This guy wants to win.
Well, I'm
and they
bounced
him from the Dodgers.
If you think that. This guy, who's a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest competitors of his era, is content by eating steak dinners after losing every single night.
I'm saying he's
got way off base.
He's got a pretty good life. He'd like to have a better team, but he also realizes the team he has is junk, so he's not going to be too worried about it. It's not like he has a great roster and they're just losing heartbreaking games and it's eating him alive because he's a great competitor.
Oh, I bet you it is.
He knows he's overmatched.
No, because that's baseball.
But
that's
he's overmatched.
The difference between winning and losing is those one or two or three plays during the course of the game
that
lead to you losing. I think that leads to a lot of frustration. Now, you may be right because the expectations weren't high and he knows he's got a bad
team. Entire outfield.
And he knows he has a bad team. But going to the ballpark is difficult enough. Every day, let alone losing
it's not
every
difficult.
Single day. Yes.
He's you think eating it's difficult? A steak dinner.
You think it's difficult to go to a baseball park when it's 90 degrees and beautiful and hit some fungos and throw Derek Dietrich out there and nobody even cares if you win or lose, you make $1 million? That's awesome.
Okay.
I don't think...
Marlins Will Soar, by the way, the song playing underneath this conversation by Scott Stapp.
Creed, right?
Yes.
Love Creed. Can't say that.
You
Everybody
can't
hates
say
Creed.
That, you loser.
No, people on Twitter... It's become cool to hate Creed. That's one of those things that bothers me.
Who's Creed? Like the
band? Creed, the band. Okay. They're kind of religious, right? Back in the, late 90s, early 2000s.
Pretty
popular.
Wide open. Was that the song?
Matt Holliday. Remember, Matt Holliday was defending Creed on Twitter years ago, and I think he got off Twitter after that because he was so annoyed by people making fun of him for liking
Do you
Creed.
Believe athletes when they say, I'm off social media? I mean,
no,
LeBron's saying that right now. He's off social media. I mean, they might be. But they act like they just have no clue, have no idea what's going on.
Do we have?
I'm off social media, but I'm watching SportsCenter 5 times a day.
Do we have the LeBron cut from earlier when he was being criticized because of the video? Now everybody saw the video from Game 1 when he's clearly miffed. J.R. Smith blows it the other night, and then he asked during the break before the overtime, like, "Did we have a timeout left?"
To Tyronn Lue.
We had a timeout, and so they're saying he looked pissed and he looked like a bad teammate. So he gets asked yesterday, like, "Hey, people are saying you kind of look like a bad guy. Are you not doing enough to help yourself win?" And actually, here is a great answer.
During those moments between regulation and overtime in Game 1, like Chris said, it has gone viral, meaning you have been getting criticized for not trying to pick up your teammates during that time. Is that fair criticism, not being in your shoes?
Me? Me being criticized? No. You said I got criticized for something, right? No, I don't believe that. Not me. I don't care. I don't care at all. I mean, we're in the NBA Finals. I mean, how much more picking up teammates you want me to do? I mean, NBA Finals to compete for a championship.
More? How much more am I? Basically, haven't I done enough?
Right.
I got these jokers.
I didn't like that question.
In the NBA Finals.
I mean, because he's upset because
that's a good question, though.
Well,
do you think the criticism is fair? And he was basically like,
what do you want him to do during every timeout? You want him to be, I mean, do you want him to be, you know, Kendrick Perkins, who's just basically a paid cheerleader and just be, he's upset. He's frustrated. He wants to win. That's how bad this guy wants to win. And when all of a sudden you're not utilizing your timeouts in that situation, I think he's frustrated.
Hey,
I think he has every right to be frustrated.
It had nothing to do with the timeouts, though. It had to do with the fact
what
that Jarr Smith.
He's making $30 million a year.
Jarr Smith had just made just one of the biggest blunders in basketball history.
What he should have said is, hey, I didn't murder JR. Are you happy now?
Right.
I mean, he could have.
He looked like he wanted to, though.
Game three tonight. Your interest is at 10. Chuck, tonight. NBA Finals, Game 3, C-Town will host.
15, interest level. I will watch. If it's close, I will continue to watch. If it gets out of hand, I will flip over. I'll be back and forth with the Cardinals, but I'm into it.
Would you give J.R. Smith, if you're a fan, a nice, like, kind of welcome him back tonight? And
yes.
Starting lineup tonight, J.R. Smith!
Yeah, you need him. Unfortunately,
if you're a fan,
you need him.
You're bitter because you know he probably cost you any chance.
Well, he's played a game since then.
But not at home, I'm saying. Oh. At Cleveland. Would you give him a big ovation?
Yes, I would. Pick him up.
You know, I think Cardinal fans certainly would.
Matt Holliday. Tony La Russa went out of his way.
Maybe for Kyle Korver they would.
Yeah.
For Matt Holliday, after the Game 2 drop in L.A., they came home for Game 3 of that NLDS, and La Russa is telling reporters, I just want to message our fans.
Yeah.
We need you tomorrow. Matt, pick him up.
Yeah, he would do that.
He kind of preached
it. Yeah, I don't think there's anything to gain by booing a hometown player.
I agree with that. NHL resumes tomorrow night. It's going to be in Vegas. It's a Game 5. Caps have got this thing in their grasp. Mm. My main question is, if Oshie wins the Cup, is he taking it to War Road, Minnesota? Or is there any chance? His wife's from here, right?
No, she's not. She's from Minnesota.
Oh, well, then never mind.
Yeah.
That was my whole premise.
Yeah. No, I would say there's a
drop out of that.
I would say there's a 0% chance he brings the Cup to St. Louis.
What if Ryan Reeves, they came back and won it in 7? Mm-hmm. Would he bring it to forehands?
Probably not. Okay. I would think that he would maybe.
His wife is from here.
She's not.
Center ice brew.
Lars Eller's wife is from here. David Perron's girlfriend is from here. No.
But it'll be a hell of a party in Vegas tomorrow night if they win.
So. Ooh-wee.
For the Caps. That's a great point. Winning the Cup.
In Vegas.
And you're in Vegas already.
Most teams go to Vegas anyway.
Correct.
Right after they win the Cup. The fact that you're there.
The Blues did that this year. I think some players went to Vegas.
I was in Vegas one year when the Kings rolled in. Mm-hmm. To this club, no joke, with the Stanley Cup, and it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
I
and they get
that.
All the, they get all these ladies, you know, at the club, and they have sparklers, and they play music. They played The Champs Are Here, and then here's the LA Kings rolling in with their suits on with the Stanley Cup, just owning the room.
Were you at, like, Applebee's or something?
This was Applebee's, yes. It was a 2-for-20 deal.
Where was this at?
You get two entrees.
Hollywood Casino?
It was XS in Las Vegas.
Oh, you're in Vegas.
I said that right at the beginning.
Well, I never heard you tell that story before. You were up there hanging with the Cup.
I've been to a couple of Cup parties, and they really are.
Candidly.
Lewis
Doug Waite famously brought it back.
Doug Waite's party, Jamie Compon's party, and Jamal Mayer's party. All three have been held in St. Louis.
Does it usually end up in the pool, the Cup?
Oh, it can end up anywhere. But, going to a Stanley Cup party or being in the room, like you said, where the Stanley Cup is, it's like an out-of-body experience. I mean, it takes over the room. It really does. It's completely different than any other trophy. It's like its own individual person.
You talk to it.
And people talk to it. They're, like, intimidated to even go up and say hello to it.
They brought it to one of the pools the next day, and people are going up, taking pictures with it. And then wasn't it also one of the LA Kings' celebratory parties where one of the players, Aaron Andrews' boyfriend, got in a little trouble, wasn't it? Bringing in some paraphernalia.
Yeah, but Jarrett Stoll. Was that a border issue? I'm trying to remember exactly what.
I think he just had some type of drugs.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact story
club.
That led to him getting in a little bit of trouble, but I think that's been washed away.
Should I not have said that?
No, it's fine.
It's fine.
I think you're okay. I think you're in the clear.
Remember the sports magazine? Was it St. Louis Sports Magazine? Uh-huh. Remember we had those cover stories? They would always look for a theme.
Yes.
The perfect cover story right now would be for them to go to D.C. and call it St. Louis's Own or STL East because you have Max Scherzer from St. Louis shoving it for the Nats. He's a St. Louis guy. T.J. Oshie, who played here forever, starring now, starring role at least, with the Capitals. And you have Bradley Beal on the Wizards. There's a huge
Who's on the Redskins?
Otto Porter.
Otto Porter, Farmington's own.
Farmington. I think it's more Sexton. It's more closer to Columbia, right? It's like it's not close to St. Louis. Put it that way. It's
and
not,
is Hazlitt? I don't think it's close is Hazlitt to with the Redskins?
No, he's not.
He's on the Bengals.
Bengals. That's close enough.
Yes.
I feel like he used to be with the Redskins.
Well, he was.
Did.
There you go.
That is correct.
Boom.
That is.
But who else is on the Redskins? Anybody else? Chase Daniel was there for a minute, wasn't he?
I don't know. I cannot get you a. Maybe by the end of the day we'll find somebody else. But I was thinking St. Louis figures: Oshie, Scherzer, and Beal.
Scherzer's a big time Cavs fan.
He was wearing the. He looked like a Hanson brother the other day. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, wearing. What do you mean?
He had like the puck head on.
He had like tape on his glasses.
No, he looked like he nerded out for it. It was cool.
I love all the national fans freaking out about Bryce Harper. That's funny.
Oh, yeah, because he's a Vegas guy.
Yeah.
Did he have the foil on his hands, on his knuckles?
I don't know if he went that far. But look it up, the picture. He looks kind of nerdy, but he was into it. He and Ryan
Max Scherzer, candidate. Parkway Central guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. Chuck, did you know that?
I did, actually.
We can't show a highlight on TV without deciding. Do we say Mizzou Zone? Do we say Parkway? Like, every time I show Jason Tatum.
You say Chaminade.
Do I have to say Chaminade?
Why don't you say his club team? Like, where do he play? Who do he play for? The Eagles?
How about this? I just found it. I'm checking the Washington Redskins roster.
Is there a Mizzou guy?
How about Brian Quick?
Brian Quick.
Still in the league.
Former second round pick.
6'3", 215,
He knew how to go up and catch the high point of the ball.
No. The irony is they got it because of that trade with the Skins.
Can I just say this, though? I something is bugging me a little bit in regard to this St. Louis lawsuit with Reggie Bush. Like, we should, like, you know, call Kevin Demoff at like 4 a.m. and like, you know, poison his food while he's in town. You know, I think we need to like cut the cord and kind of move on a little bit and leave this guy alone a little bit. Okay. Like if you want to deal with Demoff in regard to the team or on the field and whatever, but I mean, I just hope people leave this guy alone when he comes in town
and
do his business.
No, I disagree.
Why?
Because he's Smithers. He's Smithers.
I get it. But what are you going to do?
Well, I don't, Frank said he was going to like hunt him down.
How are you going to bother him? Nobody knows where he's at.
We'll find him.
I mean, he's probably eating a steak dinner. He makes $1 million a year.
Right, he's happy. I don't think he cares. He admitted that he didn't care when they were losing games.
100%.
It was a good distraction.
I understood the disappointment and the anger for the first,
he's a tool.
For the first
different.
18 months.
Yeah, I'm not like. But
can we move on?
No,
like,
I think
like go cut your grass or something.
Two
you
different
know, like,
things.
Take your mind
you don't
off
even cut
of
your own grass. You hire someone. Grass.
Hector would do it for you. Probably $25.
Two different things. If you're sitting whining, moaning, worrying about the Rams' product, I think you got to move on from that. Whether they win 2 games or 12 games, move on from that. Despising him and Enos is different to me. It's totally different than hating the product that they're putting on the field or being bitter. It's a new coach. There's new players. Don't worry about it.
He's my favorite. One of my favorite coaches in the league, by the way.
McVay?
I like him a lot. I mean,
I always
wonder that if the Rams had a better coach and therefore the team was more successful on the field and all of a sudden was a playoff team in the year or two prior to them moving.
So if they tried to win,
that would have impacted them staying here.
So if they organizationally tried to win games and tried to get better.
You really believe
saying.
They tried to lose or no?
I think they never had any sense of urgency in St. Louis to try to win. Fisher and Snead never had any pressure. Where in any other NFL market,
whose fault is
in
that?
Year four,
the media here,
the
like,
owner,
the media,
oh stop,
the media here didn't put any pressure on them.
Oh stop,
they like celebrated these guys.
No one ever.
I mean,
celebrated
it wasn't
them.
Until they left where all of a sudden a lot of the media in this town became angry and became hardcore tough journalists.
Well, no,
in regard
I think,
to the Rams.
Totally disagree.
It's true.
This was an 18-month process. All we talked about was the potential move. We were in the A block at Fox 2 almost every day with a new development about the stadium and the site
Charlie,
and the naming
no,
rights.
Listen, it was
every
not,
day
it was
for 18
not, it
months.
Was not, it was not a tough place to be a head coach of a losing team. Put it that way.
Well, it's
never.
Not.
Well,
it's not New York. It's not Philly.
It's not Boston.
Same for the Blues. Same for the Cardinals. But I mean, I did plenty of commentary on Spagnuolo and
was
Devaney.
Was it a TKO?
Yeah, and my my bosses eventually said, okay, that you made your point. That's enough. I did.
Well, you were angry. This was more like closer to like.
Well, I hated the way they treated people.
Yes. But
and
this
so
is,
when.
This is before they even announced they were going to move.
Right. No,
this
so when Fisher came in, he was celebrated.
Some, like, this is like maybe some preseason anger or something.
No.
They did some stuff with you guys.
No, what they did, how they treated people. My anger, and that has not gone away. Spagnuolo, Devaney, the little dictators, little Napoleons, the way they treated a lot of people in that building pissed me off. And
I'll tell you what.
And I got, and I was like, okay, if you want to go around treating everybody like crap, then you better win on Sunday. And I was told, I went to breakfast with Kevin Demoff.
What'd you have?
Before 2011.
You have
steak? Good question.
Before, steak and eggs.
Before 2011, he said, I can't have you criticizing us and then doing our games in the summer. I need a cheerleader right now. And we're about to be like the Colts, Peyton Manning, and we have Sam Bradford, and we're about to take off. And I said, okay.
What did Demoff eat?
And I said, crow. They went.
Ring the bell.
2-14 that year. And I said, I cannot be a cheerleader so that I get the right
sorry.
To do
everybody
games.
But you.
No, I'm not saying I was hard on it, but I'm saying there was criticism. When Fisher,
very little. Very,
no,
Fisher,
there wasn't. Strict.
Very little.
Strict.
Very little.
Nobody knew 100% that they were leaving.
Really?
Of course there was a chance. But what? During that process, there still was a chance, in theory, that they would stay in St. Louis. We talked about that for 2 years.
And the venom for Demo.
I really never. I think a lot of people in the know knew that there was probably very little chance that
they
were going to
stay. But nobody could say for certain that the fix would. But what changed after the fact, and this is why some of the criticism or the despise of Demo is harsher after the fact, he went on record in the L.A. Times and said, I'll never forget. It was the summer of 2013, and we had the land picked out. And everybody went, whoa, we assumed you were
that's
lying.
What I mean,
we
no.
assumed you were Smithers, but that confirmed it.
I think everybody knew they were on their way out.
That
I mean,
confirmed it. He gave you a specific timeline, and you're like, so now, because you admitted that everything you said prior was a lie.
There's a reason why the owner wouldn't talk to anybody, why he hid from
everybody.
He
didn't get caught in a lie.
And so I mean, everybody knew.
So, but the despise of them off.
But the stories that were being written in the paper and whatever were just like, I mean, telling people that they were going to stay and they were going to be here. Like, this wasn't going to happen.
I don't know if anybody said that.
Right,
they might have been optimistic.
After the fact, a lot of these lies were finally revealed.
That's what I'm saying.
During the process, we thought they were fibs or lies or misdirection.
All I'm saying is,
but then afterwards, they actually told us they were lies.
All I'm saying is, I understand the disappointment. I understand the anger. But we're this far out now. If this guy has to come in town, I'm not saying you need to go have a steak dinner with him and be his friend. But
you don't need to egg his car.
But
where are you getting this from? I saw one tweet joking from Randy Carricker about this. I haven't heard anyone discuss Kevin Demoff.
I agree. I have not heard much banter about it. Listen, I don't care for the guy, but I'm not going to go down there and punch him.
Okay.
I'm not going to go down there.
That's all I wanted to hear.
Okay, you feel better
Make
now?
Make sure he's okay.
But I disagree that we should be over it when it comes to Demoff. I think in terms of the on-field product, who cares? Rams win, lose, doesn't matter. But the Demoff despise should continue. I want to carry it over for at least 10 more years.
This guy. This is Strick's thing, though.
I'm behind you, Martin.
He always, this has been like the fifth time I've noticed this. I'm picking up a trend. He's always criticizing other journalists for not being tough enough.
No.
Oh.
No.
You do it all the time.
No, I don't.
You do it all the time, Rocchio.
Are you in the media, Strickland?
Are you in the media? Know. Where were your questions, big man?
Why weren't you hammering them, huh?
Huh?
Hey, how about Triad Bank? Take it to the bank. Is Strickland wrong? Yes or no?
Of course he's wrong. Ring the bell.
100%. Should the... Okay, or give me an example why we should let Demoff off the hook.
No,
can
I didn't
he
say
even,
off
can
the
even,
hook.
Can he even get a meal in this town? Would that coward even go out to eat? Probably, I'm over at Strange Donuts getting ready for a big game at the
Dome. I
got
my Fisher stash on.
And hopefully the Cards will take care of business today against the Braves. Go, Albert. I mean, all of that stuff was just so fraudulent.
And I was never a fan of his, and you know that.
Correct.
I
mean, you were mad.
You weren't tough enough
And
on
I was
him.
Always very
you were
you
soft.
Said,
I was very opinionated on him all the
Correct.
Time.
Correct. I agree. You said...
Please, who are you talking? What are you talking about? I was very opinionated on the Rams.
No,
and
the only thing I'm arguing with you about is I'm not letting
it
go.
But now I let it go.
Didn't Demoff say something after the fact about ordering food? I swear there was a quote about that.
He made a joke.
And worrying that something would be in the food because the Rams were leaving.
I would get text messages.
He said something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, you're right. There was some
I would get text messages from him while we were on the air, you know, being defensive and whatever. I mean, he monitored that stuff.
Oh, there's no doubt. And the famous one where I finally got into it with him, it was Frank's fault, of course, stirring it up.
Huh.
When they fired a guy named John Oswald, it was so out of line. It was so mean-spirited. Frank went on a rant. I chimed in, and we just kind of went nuts and said, hey, Spagnuolo, win some games before you start fighting. That was basically the famous rant we had on the radio. And then I got a text from Kevin Demoff who said, if you want to rip on our franchise, you need to at least include me. And I wrote back and said, will do.
Okay, will do. You got it, buddy. You and I used to talk about Billy Devaney all the time.
Right.
You know that he shopped at Gap Kids. Remember?
My favorite thing about Billy Devaney, we talk about this a lot, but when you're interviewing Billy Devaney,
he was actually a great guy.
Oh, he's a great guy.
I liked Billy.
He wasn't a great guy.
I'm not saying he
was Spags who shopped it.
Listen,
yeah,
I'm not saying he was a great GM.
Both.
I love the fact that when you're interviewing Billy Devaney, as you're asking the questions, he would seemingly mouth the words you were saying with his lips as he was looking at you.
It's like a weird Bruce Lee movie. You're talking to him with his mouth going, wah, 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 wah. All right, try it, man. Somehow sponsoring this text question. Anyway, what was the point of all of this? Let's take a break.
We all have a tougher journal.
Why are we ruining the show with the
You brought
Rams?
Up Demoff. It wasn't on my hot list.
I think you brought it up.
Rewind the tape. Who brought it up? You said the thing that's bothering me about this Reggie Bush thing.
Well,
and you said if Demoff has to come into town.
We don't need to steep to a level.
Well, how about this?
Nobody's going to.
Martin, on the text line, they might. Fan of Frank says, I'm going to take an upper decker in Demoff's hotel bathroom. So how about that?
I'll never do anything active. I will wake up every day hoping that Kevin Demoff stubs his toe every day for the rest of his life. That's all I'm saying. I want him to feel pain on a regular basis. Not like a lot, just a little bit.
Mm. I think
did you get my Isaac Bruce t-shirt, by the way?
I did not. Hey, Triad Bank brings you Take It to the Bank. You can text in 855-282-8255. They're just up the road from the home to Hockey Sense. Schneidhorst on one corner. You go up on Clayton Road, just a little bit west of Lindbergh. You'll see Triad Bank, neighborhood-friendly bank. Folks who are from St. Louis, if you're a business owner and you're looking to expand, we encourage you to talk to Jim Regna, his team, about doing a loan through them, small business loan, to help you do more business. TriadBanking.com is their website. And again, located in Frontenac on Clayton Road, just west of Lindbergh. Also, Sharp City, one of our great sponsors.
Love Bertarelli Cutlery. Sharp City, right there on the hill, Andy Strickland. It's 1927 Marconi on the web, BertarelliCutlery.com. I know you don't cut your own grass, but if you did, you can get your mower blade sharpened.
Martin cuts it.
You can get your loppers.
Hey, I got Stads coming in the studio.
True story, I have a machete that I use to cut down some brush and some weeds. I was doing it over the weekend.
Yep.
I'm going to take my machete.
You live in Glendale. You're not in Forest
Hill. Yeah, but
Dell.
I have this little wooded area. And it's fun to kind of get rid of some stress by taking that machete and pretending these weeds are different people that I don't like. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm going to get it sharpened, that machete, at Sharp City, Bertarelli Cutlery. On the web, BertarelliCutlery.com. And also, Strick, they have Bertarelli Paper Co. for your disposable items, hygienic gloves, trash can liners, and such. It's Sharp City.
Restaurant biz. That's all you need to know. Quick break here. It's the Midday Grind. Martin Kilcoyne, Charlie Marlowe, Andy Strickland is here. Suit is on, sunglasses are off a little later, end of the day, all of the things that we said that were... I don't want to say that Hoffman has like the correction segment, but we throw out a lot of random topics, a lot of random bits of information that we're probably wrong
this
about.
This is PTI at the end where they say, where did we mess up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that segment every day
stealing?
Gets... The segment gets a little longer every single day. All right, that's it. It's 12:37. We'll be right back.
Suckers think you're tripping with, yes, I'm the boss. 745, white on white, that's Rick Ross. I keep them wide, I keep them long, I keep them fat, I keep them...